Well, Father, I really do thank you for coming and moving in all your might and all your glory this morning. I thank you, Father God, for touching your people and letting them just rejoice. I thank you, Father God, that these are your warriors. These are your handpicked ones that you're using to bring your goodness into the land. And Father, I'm asking this morning that you strengthen them, make them even stronger than what they were before they walked through the doors. And Father God, as you send them forth with the joy of the Lord. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, I'm getting some emails where people haven't been to church for months. I don't see how they survive. I mean, really, I really don't know how they survive. And they haven't been in church for months because of the COVID and their jobs and everything. But still, no, they're not in church. You know, I don't care. You can sit in home watch all you want to in a tube. It's not like being in the house of God and rejoicing with the saints of God. Right? Well, how many of you know God is still in control? And how many of you know that he has everything all planned out already? He knows the beginning from the end and all the in-between junk. And so we don't get upset because we're in between right now, the junk. We just keep rejoicing knowing that God is on the throne and he's going to show himself mightily real soon. And you who are keeping the faith, please keep keeping the faith. Don't allow anybody to distract you or take you off course. You know what you know. I don't care what other people say. You know what you know. You know what God is speaking to you. Just go forth in triumph, knowing that God is for you and not against you. And if he's called you to do a special works, do that special works. Whatever he's called you to do, do it. And don't let anybody, and I mean anybody, cause you to walk in doubt and unbelief. The body of Christ knows what they know, right? The world doesn't know what God knows. He doesn't know what you know. You know, the world doesn't know what you know. So you just keep running on doing what you're doing, and you keep being the light, no matter how much the darkness wants to seep in around about you. All right, this morning, God wants to speak on insurgency. Insurgency. It's an act of revolt or uprising. And this is what the dictionary said. And rebels are waging an armed insurgency to topple the monarchy. God said a great insurgency is rising and many casualties will occur. My word is filled with rebellion and self-will. Children, it has finally come upon you, and in this hour of gross darkness, many antichrists will come on the scene and try to deceive many. If you don't understand, we are in a really bad warfare right now. If you're really walking in the spirit, you feel it over you. You feel the darkness in the atmosphere. And every time I feel it, I think about Daniel, you know, when he was praying Michael had to fight the angels and dark angels in heaven to get his answer to Daniel. You need to understand if your prayers are not answered immediately, the prayers, the answer's already been sent, but it's being held up. There's a battle going on over your prayer. Please remember that. I'm hearing God say he's an instant God and he instantly answers your prayers, but the enemy does not want you to get the answer. And if you don't get the answer, what happens? You get discouraged, disillusioned. You know, you start losing your hope and all kind of junk goes on. And that's why the enemy's holding up your answers to your prayers. So God said, children, it has finally come upon you, and in this hour of gross darkness, many antichrists will come on the scene and try to deceive many. Father God, right now, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over the demonic force of darkness that's trying to come into this teaching this morning. I come against every principality and power of hell. Satan, you have no right. You have no authority. You cannot stop the flow of the Holy Spirit. And Father God, I thank you and I praise you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, I had Aaron stop the praise because something twisted in it. Something dark came into it, and we had to close it down, or it was going to do a lot of damage. See, you have to be walking in the Spirit in order to discern those types of things. You think, oh, everything's just wonderful. We're just really praising the Lord, but you don't understand that a demonic force had come in and twisted it. And that's why I stopped it. The enemy does not want us to praise the Lord. He does not want us to stay in the presence of the Almighty God. You have to start walking in discernment so you know what's going on in the atmosphere over you. Now, see, I could have let you go, but there would have been some damage done. I wanted it to go on, but I knew I had to stop it. All right. God says, you little ones have been trained in the best army. You know how to do hand-to-hand combat, and you know how to fight in the spirit realm. You have been taught how to stand, and you have been taught to walk in the spirit. You know you have the blood of my son Jesus and the entire angelic host in heaven at your assistance. He says, you've been trained in the best army, so you can fight. You can fight and you can stand. You can withstand anything the enemy throws at you because you've been trained in the best army. Are you understanding this? And God is warning you this morning that the enemy's come at you with everything he has. And if you don't understand that God has trained you and that you're standing with him, he's going to take you out. I'm not talking negative things. I'm just warning you of what can happen. You know, we think, oh, we got it all made. We just waltz through this. You're not going to waltz through anything. This thing has come upon the land, and we have to be the ones to fight. The tyrant has his ducks in order, and he has already begun the great demolition of this United States of America. His entire organization is ruled by the demonic realm. But children, I have spoken, and so shall it be. This tyrant will not be able to destroy America. He has already accomplished much on the dark side, but I will not allow him to destroy completely. He does not understand the ways of the heavenly kingdom, and others have him convinced he can do any destruction, and there is nobody who can stop him. One thing among many that he does not understand is that he has no friends. Each have their own agenda going, and there is nobody covering his back. Children, and yes, you are my children. I have brought you up in my ways, and we will follow my ways during this entire uprising. There will be wars and rumors of wars. All this hate that has now become full-blown will blow many out of the water. You have to be strong in the Lord at this given time, because this is not going to stop overnight. This war in the heavenly, on the atmosphere, over the United States of America is going to be fought with an intense warfare. I want each one of you to start discerning what's going on above you in the spirit realm. You have to understand that the enemy is, he's just out there for everything he can get. He is really stealing, killing, and destroying at this given time. You are my exception if you are following me with all of your beings. I don't want to hear any excuses why you cannot do as I have instructed. Let's start back there in that paragraph where it says children, Nancy. Children, and yes, you are my children. I have brought you up in my ways, and we will follow my ways during this entire uprising. That sounds like a command to me. There will be wars and rumors of wars. Period. All this hate that has now become full-blown will blow many out of the water. You are an exception if you are following me with all of your beings. I don't want to hear any excuses why you cannot do as I have instructed. Did you hear what he just said? No more excuses. God said, when things go just a little awry, you fall totally apart and you call yourself a warrior. Then he said, warrior of what? The heavenly realm has warriors that are flawless, and they stand tall and firm. They never look to the right nor to the left. They just keep their eyes fastened upon me. You're not going to be able to fall apart with the news that you hear. You're just not. You're going to have to know what God has spoken, and that God is going to bring this thing to pass exactly as he has spoken it. 1 Samuel 17, verse 44 says, David was a true warrior. He said to David, come here and I'll feed your body. This is David and Goliath, all right? And so I picked this scripture up and said David was a true warrior, and this is why. The giant said to David, come here and I'll feed your body to the birds and wild animals. David said to the Philistine, you come to me using sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord, all-powerful, the God of the armies of Israel. You have said bad things about him. Today the Lord will let me defeat you. I will kill you. I will cut off your head and feed your body to the birds and wild animals. And we will do the same thing to all the other Philistines too. Then all the world will know there is a God in Israel. All the people gathered here will know that the Lord doesn't need swords or spears to save people. The battle belongs to the Lord, and he will help us defeat all of you. David was a true warrior. He didn't back down from the giant. He faced the giant and told the giant the truth about God. Too many in the body of Christ, the minute something bad happens, they start backing up and start making excuses, you know, just like the prophets now, they're starting to make excuses. Well, I just didn't hear right this time. That's too bad. That's too bad that the prophets have to backpedal like that. Either you heard God or you didn't hear God. And if you'd heard God, then quit trying to make excuses just so you look good in other people's eyes. Every one of us know whether or not we hear God's voice, do we not? And the word of God says that his sheep knows his voice. No other voice will they follow. It doesn't matter what anybody is saying to you, prophets. You need to know that you know. That's why I told you, never say a word unless God speaks it. And then if God speaks it, then you go ahead and speak it. You don't have nothing to worry about. But if you're out there just saying things, be saying things, then you're in trouble. You people who, you know, prophets who say, thus saith the Lord, and God hasn't spoken, you're the ones that are in trouble. You have only say what God tells you to say, nothing more and nothing less. Satan now wages a war of insurgency, trying to create as much confusion and discouragement as possible. This is me speaking. The spiritual warfare we are involved in now is a fight against the last-ditch efforts of a defeated foe. You know, Satan knows he's already lost. If you guys would just understand he's already lost, you wouldn't be out there being lost yourself. You would know if you knew what kind of God you served, then you'd be out there fighting, knowing that God said we always fight from the stance of the victory circle. But too many of the body of Christ are fighting in the defeated circle. Are you listening here? Please don't fight from that place. Fight from the place of victory like God told us. Many in the church treat it as a country club. You know, the church. A place where nice folks dress up in nice clothes, hear a nice sermon, talk about nice things, and leave feeling really nice. Well, you're just a negative speaker, and you shouldn't be speaking negative. You should be speaking positive. You need to know the truth, church. This is why the world's in the situation it's in, because the church doesn't want to hear the truth. And there's too many pastors that don't want to tell you the truth. Do you understand, any of you that are a leader, do you understand when you stand before God, he's going to, anybody you led astray, their blood is on your hands, and you're going to be held accountable for that. Do you want to be a friend of the world or a friend of Jesus? Yeah, that's what it all amounts to, right? You have to tell the truth. You're supposed to be making disciples. You're not out there supposed to be making friends. You're supposed to be making disciples and getting them prepared to go out there and face a lost, dying world. So what do you want to do? You need to ask yourself this question. What do you want to do? Do you really want to be a disciple and go out there and preach the gospel, the true gospel, or you just want to go out there and make friends? I don't have very many friends. How about you? Because people don't want to hear the truth, do they? All right. The writers of the scriptures and Jesus himself speak of the church as existing in the midst of a real battlefield, complete with obstacles, minefields, and real enemies. How many of you are, and I'll finish this. Today, Satan is still waging a war of insurgency against the church. How many of you, when you first became born again, just thought it was going to be the most fantastic time of your life? You thought you were going to go into church and everything's going to be hunky-dory, you know, and everybody's going to love you and you wouldn't have to fight any battles. I'm going to tell you right now, I never fought a battle until I became born again. And then all hell broke loose. See, the devil didn't worry about me as long as I wasn't born again, because I couldn't do him no harm. But once I became, and you too, and once you became born again, then you were on the devil's hit list, because he knew that you were going to know, find out the truth, and you were going to tear his kingdom down. So I don't know about you, but from the time you said, God, here I am, use me, all hell came against you, and still is, and it will until the day you go home to be with Jesus. It's just a battle. You know, when I was first started a church, I said, God, I don't know how to run a church. And he said, just like you do a business. About 2 years later, I heard somebody saying, a church is not a business. And you people say church is a business, you're wrong. You know, and, but that's what God said. He said, you run it like you do a business. If you look at a church, it's a business, right? You run it just like you do a business. But you do it from a spiritual standpoint. All right, we are told in 1 Peter 5:8, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And we need to take seriously the fact that we are truly at war. Now, I want to read Job here, then I'll make a statement. Job chapter 1, verse 6. Then the day came for the angels to meet with the Lord. Even Satan was there with them. You know, up in heaven, all right? The Lord said to Satan, where have you been? Satan answered the Lord, I have been roaming around the earth, going from place to place. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you noticed my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is a good, faithful man. He respects God and refuses to do evil. Satan answered the Lord, but Job has a good reason to respect you. You always protect him, his family, and everything he has. You have blessed him and made him successful in everything that he does. He is so wealthy that he has herds and flocks all over the country. But, Satan says, but, if you were to destroy everything he has, I promise you that he would curse you to your face. Here comes our good buddy Lord. The Lord said to Satan, all right, do whatever you want with anything that Job has, but don't hurt him, but don't hurt Job himself. Then Satan left the meeting. Then I wrote down, as you continue to read the chapter, you will see that from that point on, Job started losing everything he had. Satan took everything from him except his life, put sickness on him, stole all of his money, all of his herd, killed his children, burned his homes down. The only thing that was left was poor Job, sitting there with bulls on him. Do you not think that Satan has not gone before the throne of grace and asked God for you? Well, he didn't ask for you. He didn't ask for Job either, did he? God said, have you considered my servant Job? And you, when God told me, daughter, you're going to go through a Job experience, that's when I studied Job. I said, you got to be kidding. So see, Satan didn't go and ask for me. He was just looking for somebody. And God said, have you considered my servant Barbara? Do you understand why you're going through a warfare? Because God trusts you and God knows you and God knows that you're not going to give in to the wiles of the enemy. And so he has told Satan, hey, go check him out. You just can't kill them. And you know, when the devil was checking me out and he was doing all the dumb things he was doing to me. He said, I'll kill you. I said, no, that's one thing you can't do. You can do everything else, but you can't kill me. Because that's what God's told me. He said, he's going to turn you every which way loose. So are you strong enough? Are you a warrior, a true warrior, where God can say, have you considered? Then stick your little name in there. Have you considered Dana? Why don't you go check her out and see what you can do to her? There's a story in the Bible. It was put in there so we would know what's going on. Come on. Have you considered Daryl? Go check him out. Take a little pot with you. Tempt him a little bit and see if he'll take it. You see what I'm saying? That's how he works. I don't know some of your names, so I just use that name. I know that name. Come on. Have you considered Alan? Take cigarettes with him. Check him out. Right, Alan? See what I'm saying? He knows your weakness. Satan knows your weakness. And that's what he's going to bring when he comes to check you out. Where are you going to end up? I'm going to tell you one thing. When you go through a Job experience, it's horrible. But if you keep your eyes on the Lord, because God always forewarns you. If you're listening for the voice of God, he'll always forewarn you what's going to happen. And he told me it wasn't going to be nice. Halfway through, I said, God, please take me out of this thing. But he didn't. And I'm here to tell you this morning, you can make it. You don't have to give in to anything that the devil throws your way. Absolutely nothing. You can make it. He didn't call you a warrior just for something nice to say to you. You can make it. You have the fortitude. You have whatever it is to make it because God placed it in you. He would not call you to do something you are not already equipped to do. He just doesn't do that. I don't care. That's some excuse y'all make, but he does not send you forth without equipping you. He makes sure you're ready to go before he sends you. The Bible said many are called, few are chosen. And we've watched many being called and very few chosen because they just couldn't make the grade. They couldn't stand the testings that they had to go through, the trials and the tests, the tribulations you had to go through to be a true warrior. Talk to yourself, am I a true warrior? Can I withstand everything that the enemy's throwing at me right now? Because I'm going to tell you, it gets worse. It does not get better. I'm not going to sugarcoat this. It does not get better. It gets worse. But as it gets worse, you're stronger. And you can endure it. When it first starts out, it's like a little baby walking. They go, oh my God. You know, how am I going to take the next step? But as you keep trusting God, keep your eyes, because he always tells you, look up, keep your eyes on me. Don't look at anything else. And I'll bring you through. But see, too many of the body of Christ look around about them. They look at the situations and they forget to look at God. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. In the midst of his defense of his own ministry, Paul launches into a discussion of the way that we are to engage a defeated enemy who is waging a campaign of insurgency. And we look at that in Ephesians chapter 6. We're not going to read that. Paul understands that evil is indeed present in this world. And it is a force that Christians must understand and deal with every day. The church does not want to hear that. The church does not want to hear that they have to fight. The church just wants to go to church and just like we said in the beginning, be nice to everybody, dress nice, chuckle with everybody, then leave home and leave and go home and be happy, happy, happy. That's not the way it is, church. It's not the way it is. And God wants each one of you this morning to understand that he knows what you're made of. He knows how strong you are, and he won't put anything on you that you can't do. God said some of you are seeking for wisdom and he's already given you wisdom. You're just not walking in it. So if you're seeking wisdom from God and he's not saying anything, he's already given that wisdom and you just have to walk it out. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, it's Paul speaking, and he says, this is what Paul says, the first time I defended myself, no one helped me. How many of y'all been there? Everyone left me. I pray that God will forgive them. And we don't ask God to forgive them. We say, kill them, the Lord. Right? But Paul said, the first time I defended myself, no one helped me. Everyone left me. I pray that God will forgive them. But the Lord stayed with me. See that? The Lord gave me strength so that I could tell the good news everywhere. He wanted all those who are not Jews to hear that good news. So I was saved from the lion's mouth. The Lord will save me when anyone tries to hurt me. He will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. Glory forever and ever be to the Lord's. Amen. Paul knew that no matter what he went through, God was there with him and God would save him. How many times has God said to you, I'm here with you in this situation? If you're hearing God's voice, he'll speak to you very softly and say, daughter, keep moving. I'm here with you. It'll be all right. I'm going to stay with you to the end of this thing. And then you have to take his hand by faith and you have to trust he's with you and you just have to walk through it. God told me one time, daughter, I never send you into a valley that I don't go there with you. We are not always going to be on the mountaintop, guys. There's people in the valley that we have to go and rescue. And he's with us in that valley. And he's going to keep you safe. I'm hearing God say, are you really strong enough this morning to be one of those that he can send into a valley of dry bones, understanding that he's with you, and you walk through that valley unafraid? God said, if ever you needed to be submissive to your Father in heaven, it is this very moment. Children, the enemy is very serious about this insurgency, and you must be just as serious. 1 Chronicles 28:9-10 says, and you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father. Serve God with a pure heart. Be happy to serve him because the Lord knows what is in everyone's heart. He knows what you are thinking. If you go to him for help, he will get an answer. But if you turn away from him, he will leave you forever. Solomon, you must understand that the Lord has chosen you to build his holy place, the temple. Be strong and finish the job. Do you guys understand that God has chosen you to do the job of bringing in the harvest? And he's saying, be strong and bring the harvest in. God said, this insurgency is meant to take out the very existence of my church. It is meant to pit one against the other. This insurgency is meant to break America to a point that she becomes the tail and not the head. Church, if we don't do our job, the enemy's going to win. If we don't continue to pray and fast, the enemy's going to win. That's why we're going through what we're going through with the president, because church did not do their job. Not everybody, but the church did not do their job. Satan's three weapons of war are a spirit of disillusionment, discouragement, and dissension. And we see that all the time. The weapons that the flesh uses to wage war against the church are fear, guilt, and power. Guilt is one of the most destructive and debilitating forces known to man. It is capable of changing the way we think, feel, and act. I wrote that just about guilt because I hear so many people when they hear something, they right away guilt hits them. Quit walking in guilt. If you've repented and asked God to forgive you, then you're forgiven. Quit walking in guilt. That's one way that the enemy can destroy you. Even the church can be a battleground. We just witnessed that this morning. This is not something to be ignored or made light of. We live in enemy territory. There is a great difference between waging war on your own ground and waging war in enemy territory. Right now, even in this sanctuary, we are engaged in spiritual warfare. We need to understand that the enemy likes to infiltrate the command centers. The enemy loves to come in here and wreak havoc. I said there's a great difference between waging war on your own ground and waging war in enemy territory. What did God ask us to do 2 years ago? Come up into the third heaven. And we're supposed to be waging warfare from the third heaven, not down here in enemy territory. That's the problem. A lot of people do not understand that you need to be in a third heaven fighting, and not where, you know, where the angelic hosts are to assist you, and not down here in the earthly realm where you're fighting every demon in hell. We always talk about, you know, I always talk about that over in Africa, the Africans know that there's demons in people because they walk the streets continually. And since this election, I say that America has demons walking around on the streets too. So don't talk about Africa. Talk about America. And let's get real. Let's get right down to where the nitty-gritty of everything. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2 and 3 uses the word world 3 times in verses 2 and 3. But this word literally means flesh. Most other translations render this walking according to the flesh and waging war according to the flesh. So what is the flesh? It is essentially inherited selfishness. It is what is basically wrong with human nature. It is quite apparent that we are fundamentally selfish. In Romans 3:10-11 says, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. You know, and Paul's talking to the church. He's saying there's nobody in here that's seeking God. Nobody in here who understands God. And you're calling yourself a child of God. And Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that's why God's acquit judging others, because you know you had a past too at one time. And you need to use your past as a testimony to help others get out of their sin. Jesus said, this is the verdict in John 3:19. This is Jesus speaking. They are judged by this fact. The light has come into the world, but they did not want light. They wanted darkness because they were doing evil things. The church does not want the light of God. They don't want the Holy Spirit leading, guiding, directing because they are doing evil things. Don't you get amazed at some of the things that comes out in the newspaper and stuff about what's going on in churches? I do. It's supposed to be a house of God. We're supposed to be a hospital healing. Instead, there's more destruction going on sometimes in the churches than there is in the world. In Ephesians, we learn that we are, in Ephesians 2:3, in the past, all of us lived like that, trying to please our sinful selves. We did all the things our bodies and minds wanted. Like everyone else in the world, we deserved to suffer God's anger just because of the way we were. And in Genesis 6:5, the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of their thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. And isn't that where we're at right now, guys? I mean, the world has become so evil. So evil. I say anybody that's already died, they're in a good place. They don't have to live here in all this junk. Because everything is evil. It's hard to find anything good anywhere. In Genesis 8:21 said, the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. The selfishness comes from you. It's a generational thing. And God says, inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. Then God speaks again. He said, this insurgency will take out everyone that is not connected with me. Children, this is a rough battle, and the war will get intense. Stay close to the fire and fear not. You are my beloved ones, and I hold you dear to my heart. Stand firm and stand fast, but whatever you do, stand. God said right here, the battle is going to get really bad. If you look at the news, you can see, I mean, we really don't read the news per se, but if you look at the news, you can see how evil things are right now. They're not going to get better for a season. They're going to get worse. Are you so secure in God that you can go out there and in the midst of a battle, speak the truth and not be ashamed of the truth? You really need to think about this. Or are you going to cave in and go along with the crowd? You'll be like Peter. He never knew Jesus. He didn't want to be crucified. He didn't want to have to go through what they were going to do to Jesus. So he said, I don't know him. What are you going to say? You know, you got to think about, what are you going to say? I mean, I'll just say I know him and I'll just, will you really? What I have found out in my walk in life is never say what you're going to do. You don't know what you're going to do until you're in that situation. You know, when my father, you know, put us all out of the house, I never held that against my father because I don't know what I would have done in that situation. I really don't. I can say what I would have done, but I never was in that situation, so I don't know. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if people have done you harm and you hate them, why do you hate them? Because you don't know what you would have done in the given situation. Well, yes, I do. No, you really don't. No, you really don't. I can say this with surety of heart because I've done that. I would never do that. Guess what I found myself doing? So, guys, quit being so hard on other people, on parents, your children, whatever, friends, whatever. Because just think, my motto is, I just thank God I'm not walking in their shoes. I just thank you, God, you've kept me and I've never had to go through all that kind of stuff. You know, because we can all just be as wicked as the next person. But for God, God will keep you if you can trust him. Now, I hope you understood this message. I was telling Aaron that God's putting these different things for me to teach. And I don't understand them fully myself. I did do this. But, you know, we have to give what God wants you to hear. You have to be able to hear the truth, no matter how bad the truth is. And you have to be able to stand when the enemy's coming against you. And he comes against you in many different ways. Your friends, your families, just coming against you, period. But you have to learn to stand. And I'm hearing God say, that is a function that you can do, or I wouldn't ask you to do it. And you have to be sincere when you're standing. You can't be double-minded. And you can't be partaker of the world and God both. You have to give up one. You either have to give up the world or you give up God. You know, and I can't make that decision for you, but I hope you make the right decision. And you need to understand that God is for you. He's not against you. And God understands if you just heard about him and you're just trying to put all this stuff through your head, it's a lot. And you're trying to figure everything out. He understands that. But he also understands that you need to start somewhere. And why don't you start by receiving him as your Lord and Savior, then keeping him as your Lord and Savior. And so this vacillating back and forth. One day I'm going to serve God, next day I'm not going to serve God. Guys, God is calling this church to be strong towers. He told me he was going to use this church to win Lower Delaware to Christ. The only way we can do that is if we're strong. If we can withstand the attacks of the evil one. Are you listening? I'm just going to share something. For the last 3 days when I've been getting prophetic words from God, I've had a trouble with him. I thought, is this really God? You know, and I never second guess myself, never. And then when I look up scriptures, I can't find scriptures, and I know the scriptures are there. Then I found out why. Somebody put a very bad thing on what was it on? Facebook or something about me. And they said I needed to repent. I'm a false prophet, and I need to repent or I'm going to go to hell. Well, you know, now I know why I was having trouble with a prophetic word. Because this person's been praying against me and saying, you know, I need to repent. But that didn't upset me because then I realized why I was having trouble. You know, I get the word, I write it down, but I think, is this really God? And I've never done it in my life. But see, now the person, God told me the persecution is going to become against you because you're a prophet. So guys, the persecution has already begun. I'm not the only one that's in this boat. And if you get out there and you start and you're preaching the truth, and if you're prophesying, you're going to become against. I'm sticking to what God's telling me. I'm not relenting on anything that God has told me, because he's given me the whole picture. I'm standing my ground no matter what it costs me. What are you going to do? Each one of you, some of you in here, you're already ministers. You're ministering to people. What are you going to do when people revalue and come again? What are you going to do? Because the persecution's already begun. The war's going to get harder. Are you able to stand the fire? Think about this. Are you able to stand it? You're going to find your kids are going to come against you. Your husband, your wife's going to come against you. Your best friend's going to come against you. What are you going to do with all that? Isn't that what they did to Jesus? Peter denied him. Are you going to deny that you're a child of God? God is telling me to tell you that we are in a battle. War has been waged against us, and the enemy's playing for keeps. Where are you going to end up at when all the dust settles, is what he wants to know. He's saying he's not a foreign God. You know, F-O-R-E-I-G-N, right? Not a foreign God. He's not a God far off. He's right there beside you. He's leading, guiding, and directing you. Now, along with this warfare is coming the greater works. Mark, God said, get ready for the greater works. There's a greater works, the signs, wonders, and miracles. So all of you who have your ministries, you're in a war, but because of the war now, the greater works, the signs, wonders, and miracles are going to be occurring. Are you ready? I'm even hearing God say, are you ready for the rapture? Then what he said is, are you ready to be raptured up into his heavenly throne room and to be taught and receive all that he has for you? Yeah. You're in a time warp, he's saying. And he wants you to learn to come to him at any given second, because he's going to be calling us up into the heavenly realm. And he's going to be teaching us from there. You have to be ready to drop everything and just go. All right, let's put it that way. He said it that way, but let me explain that a little bit. In other words, you should be so sold out to God that at any given time he could just rapture you up, you know, pull you from here to heaven and teach you something and then send you back down. You know? That's the way that's supposed to work. So you have to determine this morning, God, no matter what I'm doing, you can rapture me up and set me at your feet and teach me. And when you make that covenant with him, that's what he's going to do to you. I remember when I was first born again, this pastor's mother loved God with all of her heart, and she came down the steps one morning, couldn't get into the kitchen because the glory of God was in the kitchen. She could see her mother sitting there with her little teacup. She sat there for three whole days and nights. The glory of God was all through that room, and nobody could go to her. They could see her, and she was fine. They knew what was going on. Then after the 3 days was up and the glory lifted, she sat and told them things that God had told her was going to be happening. Now, do you give God permission to do that for you? It might cost you your job. Why didn't you come to work? I was raptured away. You know. Yeah, are you going to make that covenant? God, you're at your disposal. You can rapture me away anytime you want to. And God said, this is where he's at with you guys. He's fine-tuning you. Are you really ready to give up everything to work for him? If you are, the altar's open, and he's going to touch you with a special anointing. that's going to set you apart to be one of those who have said, you can do whatever you want to me, Lord, anytime you want. What's the Bible say? Be instant in season and out of season. So that the altar's open for that special anointing.